So we have one more day here of questions and answers. Rand Paul is mad as a hornet today because John Roberts refused to read a question that included the whistleblower's name. Eric Ciaramella, he refused to read that name in front of the Senate chamber. Rand Paul basically saying, you don't have the right to decide what questions I ask or to censor the questions I ask, which turns the spotlight to tomorrow. Because the question is whether or not there are enough votes by the Democrats to force witnesses or not enough votes for the Republicans to stop that from happening, or do they hold their position? A couple of days ago, the smart money was on witnesses are going to be called, but now it appears Lisa Murkowski and Midnight Mitch have put together a deal that takes Murkowski off the playing field. That leaves only two senators that appear likely to leave the Republican side to go to the Democrat side, that being Romney and Collins. Mitt Romney of Utah, of course, Susan Collins of Maine. But that would leave the Democrats short because that would be a 51-49 no vote. But the real wild card then becomes, what happens if a Cory Gardner or a Lamar Alexander or somebody else joins the Democrats and says, I'd like to see witnesses? The problem then becomes a tie vote, a 50-50 vote. Because it's not clear Chief Justice John Roberts is allowed to make that call to break the tie, or if he would even intervene, or if he would just say, guys, you have to figure that out on your own. This is a political matter. It's up to the Senate to follow the impeachment course. It's not up to me. This is not my deal. So we'll see what happens there. But it's been gamed out now. A 50-50 tie would certainly go down in the history books as an anomaly, as in a strange event. Of course, Democrats say John Roberts must vote to break the tie in favor of witnesses. He'll go down in history as a great man and all this other nonsense. And if he doesn't vote to break the tie in favor of witnesses, he'll be scorned for years to come. But now that the Republicans seem reasonably confident that they have the votes to block the witnesses, so we'll see. Again, today is another day of questions and answers. Look for Rand Paul. Look for Rand Paul to be demanding to be recognized. Rand Paul is mad as a hornet, like I said, and he's going to come out and he's going to make himself be heard, that's for sure. In other political, you know, headlines, Bernie Sanders predicting now that he expects to win the Iowa caucuses February the 3rd, Monday. He expects to win, which takes me all the way back to this whole process when it started. I said Bernie Sanders was the guy to beat because he had a lot of money and he had about 20% of rock-solid support from his base. 20% of the Democrat Party, rock-solid support, not going anywhere. It seems that that's going to play out. Looks like I called that one correctly. Now, I had some moments of doubt in the middle there. But right now, Bernie Sanders pushing back towards the top. And the thing is, if Bernie Sanders does not get the nomination, do his people vote? Do his people go ahead and vote, or they just say, you know, we're out, we're on the sidelines, we're going to burn Milwaukee down, and that'll be that. We'll keep an eye on that. By the way, a few days ago, there were some headlines on Drudge and so forth. Of course, Matt Drudge lost his mind and then went into become a recluse, became a socialist apparently somewhere, Matt Drudge did. But there were these headlines of this race to fill a seat in Texas, and the Democrats were going to turn Texas blue. You might have caught this, maybe you didn't. But they, oh, we're going to get this congressional seat. We're going to, the big things are going to happen. Well, how did that turn out? Well, the headlines disappeared after the election. That should tell you plenty. But we'll let Texas Governor Greg Abbott explain how it played out. It's bite number two. Bite two of the Texas governor. Go.
There was a special election in a Texas House seat last night that took place where Beto O'Rourke went all in. Eric Holder gave money. Eric Holder campaign. We had five presidential candidates on the Democrat side come in and campaign for a Texas House member. And that Texas House member won by far more than his predecessor Republican won. He won by 16 percentage point margin. Creamed the Democrats, pointing out to the Democrats they are wasting their money trying to come into the state of Texas and campaign in Texas.
And there you go. So blown out. 16 points. It's a blowout. I don't care how you measure that. That's a blowout in politics. No question about it. And so then you get to the USMCA. Huge deal. Couldn't happen. Couldn't be done. Republicans and Democrats alike told the president, you'll never get that done. Can't happen. Well, not only did he get it done, he got it done in a way that brought Democrats and Republicans together. Now, the Democrats did demand some changes. We're going to talk about those in a moment. But Bret Baier, during coverage on Fox News, nailed it about the USMCA and how big of a deal this is for the president. It's bite number three with Bret Baier. Bite three. Go.
It's hard to overstate the importance of the USMCA. This is the single biggest bipartisan legislative victory for this president and this administration. It is a huge deal. It is something he promised, and rightly he says that everybody at the beginning said that's crazy. That is never going to happen. Both left and right said that. They powered through, Ambassador Lighthizer leading the way, along with Steve Mnuchin, the Treasury Secretary, and others. But the president got this across the finish line. This is a big, big win.
Here's the insanity of it. What you have now are people like Dan Kildee, the majority whip, chief deputy whip of the House Democratic caucuses from Michigan. NAFTA was a disaster for the people I represent, but I was happy to support the president's decision to renegotiate bad deals. But the original U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement was put forward by the Trump administration, meant more plant closings. It was terrible. But we Democrats, we came and saved it. Under the leadership of Speaker Pelosi and Chairman, I can't even read this. This is such garbage. The Democrats, you know what they did? They went and fought for labor unions in Mexico. They made it so that pharmaceutical companies cannot protect their patents even after they invest billions of dollars to find drugs to save your life and mine. And some other things. They went for the very socialist ideas, and by God, we should thank them. That's the message from the Democrats. USMCA, that's not Trump's deal. That's our deal. Look at us. Good luck with that narrative. Donald Trump on his way to Michigan to celebrate USMCA, the trade deal that was said could never happen, but of course it did. Another big deal from the president. Back in a moment on the Steve Gerber Show.